Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Those are bats or something flying around?
Oh, bats.
It's a dog.
Bats.
Skeleton walking across the screen.
Coast to coast and around the world.
Yeah. Man,
oh,
I don't know whose dog that is.
And around the world.
That's great.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the Halloween special. With your host, winemaker, graveyard master, Raw. And tonight's special guest from a grave interest, the tombstone tourist herself, Joy Neighbors. So prepare yourself for some chilling stories and...
I'm sorry, is this... This red tastes funny. It... Oh, blood. Oh. Oh, and don't be alone or, you know, in the dark. It's a disclaimer thing.
And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Okay, there you go.
There we go.
All right, good. Welcome to the show. It's our Halloween special is October 28th, 2019. Oh my gosh, 2021. And, yeah, I don't know why. Wow.
It's been 21 years since it's been 19.
Yeah. What's that? Okay, why am I getting. What's that noise? Is that someone chatting with us? No.
No, I don't
is that
think so.
On my end? Or huh.
I don't hear anything on this end. It must be.
Twice now.
Okay. Joy should be calling in any minute now, any second now. Let's see what's going on here. Okay. Okay, what is this? This is all okay here. Yeah, I'm looking.
Check the studio.
Looking. Okay. Studio. Oh, we have a caller. We have a caller. I think that might be Joy. Let's bring it in and see if it is. Hello, Joy. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for joining us again. We were looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the invite. This is always fun.
Yeah.
Kind of short notice, too, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah.
You were busy. Busy this time of year, so yeah, very cool.
Yeah. Thank you for taking your time and joining us. So, the first question is, what are you doing now?
Right this minute, I'm sitting here with a glass of wine.
Oh, very good. All right. And then, well, speaking of which, I know you still enjoy wine because you had your blog. What's the blog became too much to keep up with, the Joy's Joy of Wine?
I had two blogs and a full-time job, and I was going to school to get an MFA. So I kind of went, oh, something's got to go.
And so
it was the wine blog. Yeah.
That's understandable. You're putting a lot into this to the cemetery blog and the books and everything else, so that's understandable.
Yeah.
And you're also, when you responded to me when I asked you, you said you were in Chicago working on a play or working on your play or what is that?
Yes. The MFA was in playwriting, of course. I mean, how else are you going to make a whole lot of money, right? Be an actor or be a playwright? Either one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right up there with being a winery owner or a broadcaster. Right? Cash just pours in.
Yeah, there's narrow fields that you can really make money in now. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I keep following those, you know. I keep ending up in those. But I have a 10-minute play called All I've Got, and it's based on an incident I saw in a big box store a few years ago. And it just it kind of gave me the inspiration play, because I don't know how it turned out. There was an older guy, and he was just barreling down the aisle, and there was a younger guy standing there looking at well enough wine, and he just banged his cart right into him. And the young guy turned around, and they started arguing, and I'm thinking, I'm not staying around for this.
I'm
in the Midwest, and you're like, I don't think I want to see what they pull out and what happens.
It's called concealed weapon.
Yes, exactly what I was thinking. So anyway, I was going to go meet a friend for dinner, so I went ahead over to her house, and I was sitting there playing with the idea. And my husband's grandfather was rather crotchety like that. And suddenly I was creating a story where I based it on his grandparents and on a younger couple. And it literally ended up being the old guy is accusing the young guy of, almost running down his wife in the parking lot. And it turns out the older woman is dying from cancer. And the old guy can't handle it. And the young guy is really, really in a bad place, too. And he's lost his job, and he can't take care of his family, and his wife has just been injured. So you've got these two guys squaring off in the store. They're going to – I mean, they fight each other. The two women who are trying to straighten things out, and the old guy, it looks like he's having a heart attack. So it just, and it's all in 10 minutes. It happens, from the beginning to the climax to everything resigns itself in 10 minutes, and the audience goes away and goes, oh, wasn't that sweet? Yeah. Most people, they get a couple hours to do this, and I chose to do it in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you're not going to end in a tragedy, in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you can't. No. Well, I guess you could.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I submitted it to a competition. It's won several competitions.
Wow.
And this one was for a radio show in Chicago. And I had to have my own actress. And so my young couple, we were going to do this a year ago in March, and then we had COVID. So they put us on the back burner. And the producer called me a few weeks ago and said, are you guys ready? And I said, sure. And then I called my people and, we're ready. And then the younger couple said, we can't do this. We had a family emergency. And I was like, you signed the contract and it says, do not ask us to help you find any characters. And it was like, So I had calls out in Chicago and in Indianapolis and in Louisville, Kentucky. Everybody wanted paid, and it's like, I'm not getting paid. You're not getting paid. We're acting. What happened, to the thrill of acting and being on the board?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I finally had to get hold of the producer and said, I'm sorry, I have to withdraw. I can't find anybody who'll just do this for the love of acting. And he said, give me an hour. And he got back in touch with me and he said, we have your actors. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
We rehearsed for a week over the phone, and we met each other on the night we performed, and it was a lot of fun. It was great, and they used the old sound effects, to do the cart crashing, and it was really
great. Oh, so fantastic.
I was up in Chicago at the time when you messaged me. I was like, this is great. I got to go on the air again. So
yeah, well, you sent me back the message. I'm in Chicago at my play. And I told Mike, I said, her play? Mike going, wow, she's really, stretched her boundaries.
I've expanded, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my
As
gosh.
As I said, I'm looking for all those ways to make a lot of money. So.
Yeah. And, you know, when you can't find actors and you're not getting paid for it anyway, yeah, you're really going to do well in
that. Yeah, but, you know, now I can say I've had a play in New York and I've had a play in Chicago. So I'm like, woo!
Yeah.
I haven't got paid for them, but hey.
Yeah, you're reaching the markets. So you mentioned Indianapolis. You still live in Indianapolis?
I'm actually down by Louisville.
Oh, Louisville now. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you might have mentioned that, you know, if I remember correctly.
I've been in Louisville for almost 5 years.
Cool town.
Very cool town.
Always when I pass through it, I've always thought that Louisville was a cool town. I never have lived there or stayed there. Actually, I ate dinner there one day, but that was it for Louisville. But, Mike, I asked Mike before the show, I said, how long has it been since Joy's been on the show? 2-3 years? And he started to look it up, and he goes, last year. I go, nah.
Yeah.
He goes, that's we had her on last year. She told us about the book and all that. And I just... I really was thinking that it was longer than that, but yeah.
Well, it had been a few years before last year.
Yeah, it was. It was, I think, three or four before last year. But yeah, at that time you said you were in Louisville. So are you working there now, other than writing plays? Are you?
I was working as a tour guide at Old Forester Distillery.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then COVID hit and we locked down. And I mean, that was a good year. And when they started calling people back, they called me back, but I had knee surgery scheduled.
Oh.
And I had that done. Yeah, I had that done the 1st of September, and my doctor still hasn't released me. So I'm living the life of leisure, writing plays and books.
There you go. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I remember you saying that you were a tour guide on there now. Yeah, that was something that...
And see, if you go back through Louisville, or even just Kentucky, you have got to take some distillery tours.
I'm trying to think. What is the name of... I can't think of the name of the distillery now. The one that is not too far from the Capitol, Capitol building.
In Frankfurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't think of it, but it's haunted. It is haunted there. They, in fact, we got there.
Buffalo Trace.
Buffalo Trace. Thank you. Yeah, Buffalo Trace.
I mean, they did ghost tours.
Yeah, we got there about an hour and a half before they closed, and they don't start tours any less than 2 hours before they close. So mm-hmm. we missed the tour, but they have a ghost tour there, and they go around. They say they're haunted, and I talked to a girl for a while that was part of it. It had slowed down for some reason. It was during a weekday, and it was getting close to close, like, say, an hour and a half, and so there wasn't a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
But she was telling us about how it's haunted and how some of the areas the workers are afraid to go into at night and stuff like that. And it was, you know, really, I'm going, nah. And I go, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is known. Warehouse is very haunted. The former owner's office is supposed to be very haunted. It's one of those places that would be cool to work, but it's too far away for me to drive right now.
Yeah, well, you'd have to, you know, have a lot of intestinal fortitude to actually work there. I mean, I would think it reminds me of 3 years ago. I think it was 3-4 years ago. I called a winery in Virginia, and I said, I understand you're haunted. And the girl says, yes, we are. She said, people see spirits all the time and different things going on here.
Cool.
I said, I'd like to get you on the show. And I told her all about mine. She goes, sure, I'll be on. And it was, I called her on a Thursday, and I said, is this evening I'd like to get you on? She goes, I can do that. I said, is this a good number? And she goes, yeah. She said, you know, call me on this number. And about 6:30, our time is the East Coast, so the show starts at 7, about 6:30 our time. She calls me back, and she says, I'm going to give you a new number. And I'm going, oh, I said, you're not going to be there? She goes, well, she says, I'm going to be here, but I'm not going to be inside by myself. Everyone went home, and I'm not going to stay inside the building at night by myself. You can talk to me outside, but I refuse to stay inside at night by myself. And I thought, well, you guys really are haunted. And she goes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do it, you know. So, you know, there's makes you wonder some of these places around.
I know.
So,
that's great.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's big. I can't remember the name of. I'm sure Mike can look it up. He's got a mind like a steel trap. So, before we go any further.
Yeah.
We need to take a moment here and wish Mike a very happy birthday. Today is his birthday.
Oh, my.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yes.
Listen, I'm working? What's going on with that?
Yeah,
oh.
Well, you know, dedication.
Do you have your glass of birthday wine?
I don't. It's pretty bad,
isn't
it?
Yes, it is.
Let me check. Painkillers. Backache, old age stuff, fiber, more fiber.
You over to whiskey.
More fiber.
Yeah.
No.
happy birthday, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I usually post birthday wishes to people on Facebook, but I wanted Mike to think that I didn't know about it and forgot it. That's why I wanted to wait until the show. So.
Well, today is also my daughter-in-law's birthday. So.
Oh, is it?
That's kind of cool. Yeah. So you guys are like almost Halloween babies.
Yes.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to her as well. That's great.
Yeah.
Anybody else out there, happy birthday. Say happy birthday.
If it is your birthday, you know, happy birthday to everybody out there. Have a glass of wine. You don't, Mike didn't.
Well, my microphone is turned on. Have you been on a couple of these ghost tours? I'm sure we've talked about it before, but have you been on a ghost hunt or ghost tour yourself?
Oh yeah,
Joy.
I have. I have a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And experiences?
Some are really
anything?
Cool.
And, yeah.
One tour really stood out. It was in Alton, Illinois. And if you know anything about Alton, Illinois, it is one of the most haunted towns in the country.
Is
and they're
really?
Not kidding. It's on the Mississippi River. It's in northwestern Illinois. And my husband and I went there. We spent the weekend, and I had all this haunted stuff, you know, lined up to do. And it was in October. It was the spooky season. It was the time to do it. And we got to the town and checked into the hotel, and I said, I don't like the way this whole place feels. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, I just don't like how the town – I mean, the town felt suffocating.
Heavy?
Yes. And it was just like, I don't know, we're 2 days here? And so we went that night, and we took the tour. We took two tours. We took a tour of the cemetery, and, you know, it's after dark, and it's kind of cool. And the cop comes by and makes sure where the tour goes. It's like, okay, yeah, that was really scary. They had, you know, and they're telling us there's the mausoleums that are empty. And this cemetery started to run down, and people started pulling their loved ones out and moving them to a better cemetery. So literally the homeless were now coming and sleeping in the mausoleum. So, you know, it wasn't scary as much as it was just really sad if it had gone to this degree. But then we went the next night to a hotel there. And it has become more of a memorabilia, small shop kind of thing. You know, nobody stays there now. But it's 3 or 4 stories, and they kind of take you through, and, you know, it's the old building and the creaky floors. We did the tour, and we were standing in one of the rooms, and I just didn't like it. And so I was, you know, looking around like, I don't know, what are we moving on here? The guy didn't tell us until we got downstairs later. He asked if anybody had a problem in that room. And three or four of the women were like me, who were like, yeah, yeah, I did. And he said, did anybody feel anybody touch them? And one woman said, well, yeah, I did. And the guy said, well, guess what? You're going to have a ghost go home with you tonight, because he kicks out one woman. And we have gotten so many complaints, I tell people now, he'll go home with you, and things will start happening. I'm like, whoa, I'm so glad he didn't like me. When she left, she was almost in tears. I'm like, oh, Lord. But it was a really odd, disconcerting feeling to be in that town. And we were maybe 10 minutes out of it, and I was like, okay, I feel so much better now. So I've never been back. I mean, when they say Alton, Illinois is haunted, it is so very haunted. It just
wow.
Is. So, Now, I went, pardon? Go ahead.
I just wondered that we've talked before in the past shows over the years about who and what is haunting different areas. Why is that town so haunted? What spirits do you think might be there?
I don't know. There's always talk about there being the ghosts near the rivers.
Oh.
And, you know, it's a small town. It's on the Mississippi. And when I compared this to another small town, only it's in Indiana, and it's very old, and it's on the Ohio, and that's Madison, Indiana.
Hmm.
And that is another town that is very, very haunted. And I go to Madison, and I love the town. It's like,
yeah, I've been to Madison, Ohio.
I can't tell you why there's such a different feeling. Now, Madison has a winery that's haunted there.
Yeah,
they have
that's why I was
your
in
winery.
Madison.
You went
to the
winery.
I went to the winery. Yeah. And they told me that we're haunted. And I go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They go, no, really, we are.
Yes. Yeah. And it's known in the wine industry. They have several goats hanging out in their building. And they have an old woman who you can see tending the garden. And, you know, people think that she's really there tending the garden. And if they walk up and talk to her, she just stays away. But that's what Madison, it's on the National Historic District. And it seems like things that are really, really old seem to have a lot more in the spirits side. They have a theater there, the Ohio Theater. And, of course, really find a theater that isn't haunted. But this one has lights that are floating, you know, in the balcony. You can hear screams coming from the building. They have, Springdale Cemetery. Of course, I've been there with my granddaughter. And I've always told her, when you go in a cemetery, you be respectful. And I kind of blew my own rule that day. We walked up to this, huge statue. It's called Let There Be Light. And I mean, it is... I don't know, maybe 12, 15 feet tall, up on a pedestal. And when we walked up, we were just even with the feet. And I made a comment. I said, boy, she's really got big feet. My granddaughter was appalled, you know. You don't do that. You don't say that. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Well, then we started having things happening to us in the cemetery.
There you go.
And so I parked, and we went to look at the Civil War graves. And I left the car running. I was just going to grab a photo. And my car started revving up, and it was revving and revving, and she goes, what's it doing? And I said, I don't know. So we ran over and got in the car, and we did a couple more things, and it was weird enough we left. And we're about 20 minutes, we went downtown to the river, and I had a text from my daughter-in-law, Alessa's mom, and she wanted to know why I had sent her a text saying we were waiting for her at the Circle K gas station. And I'm like, Jess, I never sent you that. I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, I don't even know where there's a Circle K. And so Alessa and I are driving out of town, and Alessa goes, look! And we drove past the Circle K.
Circle K.
Oh, wow, okay. And we've gone, I don't know, maybe another 20 miles, and my phone rings. And it's my husband, and he said, why do you keep calling and hanging up on me? And I'm like, I'm not doing that. What's up here? Did I call and hang up? And she's like, oh, it's the ghost. You pissed her off. And I'm like, oh, yeah, dear. Oh, you dear.
Said something about her feet. Then.
I did. She did not like that. And I did not know the cemetery was supposedly haunted. So, you know, I took my phone and waved it out the window as we passed the cemetery. And I said, move on, find your friends. And the weird stuff stopped happening, you know. So she was really thrilled that that happened. But I started researching it. And it's like, this statue that I insulted is known to be a source of problems. And it's the one I had to insult.
The one you picked on. There you go.
Yes, it was like, okay, she still, every time we go to a cemetery, we'll say, okay, you don't insult anybody here.
Be respectful.
Yeah, so Madison, though, Madison's just so very.
Yeah, I've been to Madison. Like I was there, my wife and I took a big loop in Cincinnati and Kentucky 1 year.
Yeah.
And, stopped at the winery in Madison. That was one of the stops there, because I remember that, because they did say they were haunted, and we talked a little bit about it, and they said that they did tours at the time. This was this was 8 years ago, and they were doing tours at the time for their haunted winery, and they were starting them in the evenings, and when it's at dusk, and they said that's when you can really feel the spirits. So, but we were on the road, and we didn't get a chance to stay in and go to it. But that's why I remember Madison. I did not realize that the whole town had a reputation, though.
Yes. Yep. And again, it's a river town. There is just something about the water and that flow and all of that that causes something to make those spirits feel at home. So they hang around those kind of towns.
Maybe, and just conjecture, maybe something happened on these rivers and the boat sank or something like that, and they just gravitated to the closest town, the spirit. So, I don't know. Just
that,
like I
actually,
say.
That's as good a reason as any. What's happened that kind of lured them in?
Yeah, something that, you had an early boat crash or something on the river, a river boat crash, and back in 1800s, and has gravitated to the town and stayed there. So it works for me. Yeah. So your book, Mike said he just purchased it and is starting to read it.
Thank you, Mike.
Absolutely. Very, very nice what I've gotten into it so far. It's got some good illustrations. If anybody is out there, please, Android or Kindle. Amazon. Or if you can get the Kindle app on your phone, if you can get the Kindle app on your phone, you can purchase it on Amazon and have it on your Kindle app ready to go, which is how I'm doing it. Take it with you. It's a great reference. And I love the Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide, How to Find, Record, and Preserve Your Ancestors' Graves. So if you're thinking that it's, scary stories and stuff like that, it is not. It is very handy reference guide for sure. And down at the back of it, I was looking, you have worksheets, and it's really cool. That, there's checklists for cemetery research, things to look out for, like the records, what to bring, that kind of thing. And then there's, where was it? It was, I'm trying to scan through here because I saw it just a couple of minutes ago. It was worksheets that you can track family history and all kinds of cool things. There's it's genealogy. And it's a great reference for that. It teaches you a lot about cemeteries and researching your families. And
I don't know, maybe other people's families, but
if you're so inclined.
Yeah, well, there's a site that I'm on that's Find a Grave, and I've kind of adopted a couple of cemeteries on it. And, you know, people will say, like, you know, oh, can you get a photo of this headstone or tell me what this says? And, you know, people are researching because they want to know, you know, they're interested either in themselves or whoever. And, yeah, I'll go out and walk out there and, you know, take some photos and find out, you know, try to answer some questions there. And what a great reference. There's also a hard copy. So if you don't have, you know, a smartphone or something with an app like that, get the hard copy version, take it with you, read it, and you're going to learn quite a lot off of from her book. And it's a great reference, and it's a great read, very well written, and just enjoying it. And I'm glad I picked it up. It's fantastic. So check it out again.
Thank you very much.
This is not a paid endorsement, but
no. Mike likes that stuff.
Or
though.
I would have given
you
a copy for your birthday.
No, I was like, you know what? I really want to check this out, and I want to start reading it because you know the reviews were excellent on it, and you know, having you on here and a great guest and everything, and I thought, no, I need to check it out, and so yeah, I went ahead and got into this, and it's a great read. Now it was published, I think, 2016, 2017, 2017, I think it was.
It was 2017, with F&W Media, and then Penguin Random House picked it up in 2019.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So, okay.
So it's under his second printing then.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a great resource. Definitely pick it up whenever you can and check it out. The Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide from Joy Neighbors, and she's on now. So she's an author, a playwright, and all kinds of and the grave interest as well is being updated too. So we're looking at that. And it's funny because we looked at the article that you, the post you did was from Sunday the 17th, and Ron says, "What year was that?" I said, 2021.
What's the current one?
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked is because I went on to Joy's Joy of Wine, and I started to read a couple of things on there, and I'm going, "This sounds familiar." Because I really honestly haven't looked for it in a long time, because I remember you saying that you haven't been keeping up every time. And I looked at the date, and I'm going, well, this is – it was like August or something. But I looked at the date and the year was like 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. So
a while back,
So that's why I was asking what year this, you know, your current blog is.
Well, the blog, your Joy's Joy of Wine is still up, so there's still plenty to read on there. You want to visit it, definitely. You know, it's definitely some great articles in there as well. So check them out, and you put a lot of work into it. You put a lot of it's a great read. So check it out, and same thing with Grave Interest, which is what we're talking about tonight. Ooh. So anyway.
Well, the Joy of Wine is really, you can see why you dropped it, because I can understand there would be a lot of work going into that, because you always had pictures, you always, you know, obviously you researched the things you were doing, and you always had pictures that are associated with what you were doing and all that, and I can understand why that would be a time-consuming blog to keep up. It was well presented, and you know, it's something that something I missed. I mean, I read it all the way up, and when you said you weren't doing it anymore, and I was sad about that. But a grave interest.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, the your cemetery blog. Mike is into that stuff. Mike really enjoys that the different things, and I've read some of the stuff on there, the different shapes of the headstones and all that stuff, how that all means something. Yep. I was going to ask when he was talking though, are you into genealogy or just like walking around in cemeteries?
No, I totally got into the genealogy thing too.
Oh, okay.
And Mike hasn't read far enough yet. I actually go into a family scandal of mine toward the latter part of the book. So keep reading, and you'll find some really juicy stories.
don't ruin it.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you the story, but just keep reading.
Yeah. Mom. Spoiler, take off your headset, Mike.
Yeah.
Hang on, where's the mute guest button? There we go.
Spoiler.
So tell us about it, and then we mute her, and then we're just talking. No, I still read it anyways. It's I'm just telling people out there, it's really a great read. It's very interesting, and it's not like a collection of ghost stories or anything like we're talking now, or you know, What's Haunted and all that stuff. It's really a great reference and very, very interesting read for sure. And photos accompany it, and I'm enjoying it. Thank you. So
cool.
Just wanted to mention
I'm glad
that.
You are.
Well,
now it's legitimately genealogy in the cemetery. And from that, I've spun off. I speak all over the country about cemetery genealogy and, you know, how to search for clues and find the records and reading the symbols on the stones. And I've got I do a whole day presentation next Saturday, the 6th, for Houston. I'm doing it virtually. Who knew? I mean, it's like I've got my own little mini stage, I guess. And like that in front of the camera.
Yeah, this is easy. You just need to talk. You don't need to, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Mike and I were saying if we
didn't
had
to do
to
my
hook
hair
a microphone, we'd have to wear pants on this show. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. You start a Zoom, then we're in trouble.
So we decided just to stay with the talk on this. My sister's really into the genealogy, and I think I'll probably get that book. I'll read it and then send it to her because she would probably enjoy it. So I haven't gotten the book because I'm not that big into it, but it sounds like it's very interesting, even for those of us who aren't so much into the genealogy and all that stuff, it seemed like it might be an interesting read. So I'll have to pick it up and go through it, and then pass it on to my sister, who is, you know, it's traced our roots back to, I don't know, some caveman killed a dinosaur, and that's our great grandpa.
I'm envious on that one.
Yeah, she's traced these things so far back, it's unbelievable. And she'll go out to cemeteries and she'll say, oh, you've got to see this. And she'll pull out this piece of paper where she does a tombstone, what is this called?
The rubbings.
Rubbing, thank you. Tombstone rubbing. Uh-huh. She goes, you got to see this. And she says, I said, oh. She goes, no, this is exciting. I go, I was excited. Didn't you hear me? Oh. So she's sort of wasted on me, you know, some of that stuff. But, for those of you out there into that stuff, that's great. That's, you know, sounds like a good book. I will definitely pick it up and go through it.
Cool.
So you're doing these podcasts around the country to different groups. I mean, if people are out there and they want to, you know, join one of the virtual podcasts about you telling about it, an all day seminar, how would they go about finding out if it's going to be in their area?
It is usually a genealogy society that puts on a conference, and then they will contact. And I've done a lot of where I'm, you know, I speak for an hour. I do that for a lot of libraries and historical societies around the country, and they'll just, you know, 7 o'clock, and we'll Zoom, and you can, okay, cool. And so I'll give them a presentation, or like this is actually their annual conference. And they book me a little farther ahead. I've got one coming up in April for Ohio. And that one I get to go to live. So I get to go back to country. Yay.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. But Yeah, it's just different genealogy societies, library groups, historical organizations that, you know, they have speakers come in maybe once a month or maybe every quarter. And when we got into the COVID thing, it made it so much easier because we would just all hook up on Zoom. And, you know, suddenly instead of, you know, doing the Midwest and the South, I've San Diego, I'll be doing Houston, I've done Oklahoma, I did New Hampshire. I mean, this year was just like, I've been all over the country and I haven't left
home.
Wow.
So
that's kind of cool. Except
that
I
is. That's
travel,
exciting on that.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. The
I
one
bet.
Thing I miss is I don't get that energy from the crowd, you know, and that's a theater thing is when you're up there on the stage and you're feeding off their emotions and their laughter, and you don't get that, you know, from Zoom. It's just you see them there on the side and go, okay, give everything you got and go for it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I've been in different groups and stuff, and I'll say something and everybody just looks at me stone faced, and I go, "But that's funny, people. You need to smile or something."
Yes.
You know, so, yeah, I know. It's but it's still that's exciting. Mike was just in San Diego about a month ago. He went to a conference down there. Loved the town, he said. So,
nice.
You know,
nice.
Yeah, I was envious being able to fly to San Diego. So, but. Yeah, okay, as soon as your knee is well, you going to go back to doing your tours?
I don't know. I have started on another book.
Oh!
So I'm like, you know, maybe I'm going to go through the winter and see how this works.
There you go.
thank you very much.
Yeah, our bus people. Yeah. Can we get a hint? Or is it under wraps?
Sure.
You know, what is it about?
I am living close to, I'm on the sunny side of Louisville. I'm still in Indiana. And I grew up here in this state. And I went to, they had an event at a state park called Spring Mill back in September. And it was a lighting of the cabins at night, you know, and there you go with the ghost stories and all this, you know, somehow I'm attracted to all that. So I went through and I was thinking, oh my God, every state park in this state has to have some folklore, some legends, some spooky stories. And I started digging. And I talked to two friends of mine who are librarians, and they're like, oh, ask for this. Find out if they have that. Talk to them. And it's like, oh, this is a whole book. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is really a book. And so I started digging, and it's like, this is really a book. So that's what I'm intending to do. That's my downtime for this winter, is I'm going to go to these state parks when they're not busy, and
yeah,
talk to their
time.
Staff and, you know, kind of poke around and find out some of the legends and the stories and check with the librarians and see what they know, you know, the stories from the county and what's been going on, and kind of build a book out of that I would like to have it out by this time next year, but that may be wishful thinking. I don't know.
No. This is ghost stories are going to be in this.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you
ghost
almost
stories,
have to. When
But, you know, there's legends. In southern Indiana, and I do not know why, we have the Hoosier National Forest here. So maybe that's part of it. But this is one of the most popular places other than out in the Northwest to see Bigfoot. I'm thinking, seriously?
Really? Bigfoot sightings there?
No.
I never realized that.
When I started doing this research, it's that, there were sightings here in 2019. Oh, I didn't know that either. So it's kind of cool to start, you know, unraveling the history and the lore of local areas like that. You know, why do people there's a state park up north where you supposedly can hear the children scream as they're drowning in the river. Wonderful way to go camping. But it's because children in the 1800s, when they were crossing that river, got swept away. And so that's a part of their history. Now, most of the state parks in Indiana don't really talk about their ghosts and their legends and the things that happen because, you know, it's just like Old Forester. We're haunted, but we don't publicize that. You know, I've worked several places where there's hauntings and we don't talk about that. It's like, oh, no, you don't realize you are missing a totally different audience here. You should talk about this.
That's right.
They don't want to do that. So, but when you really start talking to people who've been somewhere a long time, oh, do they have stories?
Oh,
even
yeah.
If it's just, you know, well, I always heard voices. You know, nobody's there. I'm sure it wasn't anything, but I could hear voices. It's like, yeah, I'll take that. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. It's people, you either, you either embrace it or you totally reject it. I mean, it's just, seldom do you find someone, do you believe in ghosts? No, that's ridiculous. There's no such thing as ghosts. And I'd love when they say that right then to have somebody tap them on the shoulder when there's nobody behind them. You know, I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I know.
There. You know, those who believe that there's ghosts out there, believe that there's spirits, whatever you want to call them, understand that things don't just disappear when they die. There's something that hangs around. There's something that's there. And like you say, the children who drown, and like I mentioned, the two rivers, you know, maybe a riverboat, and that's why people are hanging out there and things like this. And, you know, I mean, it's there. There's something there, and people can't explain it. And so those who can't explain it just sort of, and then there's you and people like you who embrace it.
Who are just like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had weird things happen to me since I was a kid. So it's not like I had to make a decision. Do I believe in it? It's like always weird, you know. How do you explain it? Well, it could be. And you're thinking, well, it could be, but was it? You know, and then you kind of get to where you're thinking, I don't think it was. I mean, in our winery, we were haunted. And we had the local ghost hunting group come in. And they, of course, being the PR person, I also had a dinner for people that could come in and watch the ghost hunters hunt. And it was really kind of cool. But now, when they went to the back, where it's really, really weird, they told everybody, go up front. We don't want anybody making any noises. And people did really well. They sat up front. They didn't make noises. They waited. And when their ghost hunters came back and they played the tapes and things, and you were like, oh, we did hear a voice. You know, and you could hear them talking. And it was like, I mean, I sat in my office. We had opened, maybe we'd been open a year or two. And I'm sitting there at night, I'm trying to get the books done so I can go home. We lived across the road. I'm sitting there with my dog, and it just got so cold. And I'm like, And Murrow, of course, being a broadcaster, Edward R. Murrow, my dog, walked to the door, and his hackles went up, and he growled. And I walked to the door, and it was icy out in the winery. And I stood there, and a man who had on like 1700 buckskinning outfit, a hunter, walked past me with a muzzleloader on his shoulder and walked to the wall. And that's all I needed to see. And I shut the door and I called my husband and I said, oh! And he was barking and barking and barking, you know, and I wouldn't go open the door. He had to unlock and come in. It's like, I'm not moving. And when he got in and I told him, and he was like, you know, and now his mom and dad at that time belonged to a buck skinning group. And I'm like, okay, he's playing a joke on me. And Brian, you know, we went through the whole thing. We talked to his parents. And how could anybody have pulled off walking through the wall? I was like,
that's
I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, literally, he didn't know I was there. look at me. This guy was out on a hunt and walked right through that wall and kept going. And, oh, wow. And they had had, Brian grew up there, they had had a lot of weird things happen on that farm when he was a kid. And so, you know, they were all like, yeah, that's bad. Like, well, yeah. I didn't want to be the one to see him. I never, you know, just like you said, the girl with the other winery, I never liked being there at night. I did not go over there again unless we were having a dinner or a party or an event. I would not go over there by myself at night. Now, if we had people, you know, we'd have murder mysteries and 150 people in the dining room, and, oh, that was fun and cool. And yeah. When everything got closed down, you know, and the actors and I would sit out and have a glass of wine on the porch, or when they were getting ready to leave, I'd say, okay, I'm going to go lock the doors. You come with me. And we'd go through, and we'd lock the doors, and we'd come back out and lock the big doors. Like, okay, now I'm done. I just would not. It just was too – you felt like you were being watched when you were by yourself. And, you know, nothing ever happened, but I didn't like that, so I wouldn't go in there by myself at night.
Every time you talk to someone who has been in, well, I'll say haunted buildings, wineries, I've talked to people who have haunted wineries and stuff, and a lot of them say that they don't like to be in there by themselves at night. There's always something, and spirits... You know, it's not like poltergeist or anything where they're going to hurt you. It's just that the spirits there gives you this uneasy feeling that you just can't pinpoint. So that's they have all said that.
You don't belong.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, you mentioned something there too that made me think. Why is it that it's always cold? Why isn't it hot? Why don't you start sweating? Why is it that you just start shivering?
I have had. Ghost hunters tell me that it is literally you have this problem in cemeteries with batteries, that they drain the energy out of the batteries, out of your camera batteries or your cell phone battery, and they are trying to take whatever energy they can, be it the heat or the battery, or to manifest. And that is why I have been told it is so cold. They're attempting to make their presence known. And it's like, I don't want you to make your presence known. I am the reluctant, not ghost hunter, but person that sees things.
Recipient.
And it just drives my granddaughter nuts. She's just like, I want to see a ghost. And I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah, you are. Really isn't. No, really, you don't.
No, yeah.
I had to.
Just going to say, it's like when people come to Florida that, oh, I want to see a gator. How can I? You don't. Look at a picture. That's what a gator looks like. You don't need to.
You don't need to see one.
Up close.
Yeah. I had when my book came out in 2017, I had a book signing, and I went. My publisher had set it up. I spent like 4 days at the American Library Conference in New Orleans. You know, one of the most haunted places in
haunted
the entire
world.
Haunted
cities in the country, yeah. If not the world, you know.
And I said, okay, I want to do a haunted tour, and I want to go see St. Louis number one cemetery, and I want to do a voodoo tour. And they're like, okay, fine, we got that all worked out. And they did. And it was, you know, the cemetery was really cool. But there were too many people. I mean, they were taking hundreds of people through this tiny little cemetery.
Wow.
It was like clockwork to where you couldn't stray. You couldn't say, oh, I want to take a picture of that. So, because the next crowd's shoving you on through. So it was a little too commercial. But it was fun to see. And then I did the voodoo tour. And the voodoo tour was kind of bothersome. You know, I was there early and the tour, and it's in a two-story house. And the kid takes us out. There's a walkabout that goes upstairs to the second floor separate where an apartment had been. And he's telling us the story. Downstairs is the Voodoo Museum, and, you know, and all the history, and we see all the different things that are used. And then he takes us upstairs, and he tells us about this couple. And they were both bartenders. And they had lived there during, I don't remember which hurricane, one of the hurricanes in the early 2000s. And they didn't leave. They stayed as the hurricane came on land. And people who were fixing things, the other people who stayed as the hurricane came to land. And I think Katrina maybe was it, 2004 or 5 in there. And so, you know, he's telling us this and we're walking around. And then he took us into another room. And when I stepped into the, it was the kitchen. When I stepped into the kitchen, it was like I was plastered against the wall. And I couldn't breathe. I just looked at the guy, and he looked at me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I need out of here." And he said, "Just go back through that doorway and down those steps outside." And I did. And when I got outside, you know, I'm thinking, "Oh God, I really want to take this tour. What happened? I'm feeling really silly." And so the tour finished, and he came out, and he said, "Tell me what happened." And I said, "I don't know. You know, I felt like I was just pushed up against the wall and I couldn't breathe." And he said, "Okay, I want you to meet somebody." And I'm like, "Who am I going to meet?"
It's like,
"I want you to meet my mom." Yeah. And I'm like, "Okay." So his mom comes, and his mom is a voodoo priestess. I'm like,
"Oh, wow.
I didn't know this." And she came in and she said, "You didn't they?" And I'm like, "No, nobody tried to talk." And she said, "No, they were trying to get your attention." And I'm like, "Well, they did." And anyway, this couple, it ended up, he went off the deep end and killed her in the kitchen where I was standing and cut her up into pieces and took her into the bathroom and literally put her in an acid wash, the whole thing, you know, stored in the fridge. And it was, and basically tried to get rid of the remains. And it was a couple of weeks later, and he couldn't live with the guilt. So he went to one of the local hotels, and they had a skylight. And he rented a room above the skylight and jumped out the window through the skylight and killed himself.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "They want to talk to you." And I'm like, "I don't want to talk to them." She was like, "No, you don't understand. This is a big honor. They want to talk to you." And I said, "I don't want to talk to them." And she was just appalled. And I finally, you know, she tried everything. "Come back tonight and we'll have a seance." And I said, "No, I don't want to do this. You know, I believe what you told me, but I'm not going to do this." And when I got back to the room, you know, after the book signing and everything that night, and I was talking to my husband, and I said, "It just, I know. It's like this happened. So there are people who would just be thrilled. I am not. I don't want anything to do with it." And then I'm in the middle of the night. I had this dream. And the girl came to me and said, "I want to tell you my story." And I'm like, "No, I don't want to hear your story."
Oh, my God.
And I woke up. I did. I woke up and I called my husband and I said, "What do I do?" And he said, "We'll just talk the rest of the night." I said, "Yeah, thank you." And I mean, when I Googled it, when I got home, not there, when I got home and I Googled it, it's a really sad story.
Wow.
And they know he killed her. And it was like she was trying to tell me what happened. And I don't do that. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm not that person. And so, you know, it's that weird. There's a line I could cross, I won't cross. And it's a weird thing to say, you know, I understand and I don't want to do this. And have people just stand and look at me like I am completely nuts. Because to them, I am. But to me, that isn't the way I go with this. I'll tell the ghost stories because, yeah, stuff happens. But I'm not going over to that other side to tell that part of the story. That isn't who I am. So... Don't expect me to show up at your library with black hair and black lipstick. I'm not goth girl. I won't do that.
But you're receptive to all of that, and you would. They know that obviously, and so therefore they want to speak with you, and so it would be disappointing.
You would think,
I would think to them that you're not.
I'm sorry, but no. It comes through my family, and it comes through my grandmothers, and it's like, you know, and I can remember my grandma telling me when she realized I could do this, you know, don't do this, it'll mess your life up, and I was like, okay, I can kind of maybe see that, yeah, and I never have. It just,
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, it's obviously a personal choice. If you want to be conduit, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Then you can do it. But if you choose not to, then I suppose the spirits and everything else should be receptive to that also and understand that because.
Yeah. Because the way I look at it, there's somebody out there with it that can do this who wants to. So it's just, you got to find them. But I'm
not her. Who wants to? You have the gift, but you don't want to, and that's, your choice.
To.
And so.
Nope.
So, that in itself, that, it's cool. If you don't want to. New book.
Yes.
Are you, have you came up with the name yet?
I haven't.
Okay.
Do you have an idea?
No, I was just, I was just wondering, because that way we can mention and have people start searching for it in about, 10, 11, 12 months or so. And,
I will send it to you. I will, when I figure it out, I will email you the name and what's going on.
Oh, well, then I will be more than happy to pass it on to the listeners, too.
Cool.
Mike, you have a conversation or comments for Joy?
Well, that'll be a show for next year to plug the book.
The book, yeah.
That's true.
It'll be named and more information. But you mentioned your husband briefly during what you were talking about in New Orleans and all that. What is his take on all this? Is he kind of, you say, hey, I want to go on a ghost tour, and you're like, okay, go have fun, and I'm staying here at the room, or, whatever. Or does he get involved with it?
He gets involved, too. He is where I am somewhat sensitive to things. He can walk in a room, and it's like whatever is there goes away. So it's kind of handy. I've been in cemeteries before and had something touch me on the shoulder or had, something rub my face. And if he's there with me, I will just head that direction and I can just feel it stop. It's not going with me. And
wow.
I don't know what you call that, but he is, and he said, I wish I have seen a ghost. I wish I could have seen a ghost. And he said, I never have. And I never will. And it's like they're gone. They're completely gone.
Wow.
And I don't know why, and I don't know, how that works out. But he's totally opposite. It's not that he doesn't, believe in it or want to see it, but they stay away from him for some reason.
Wow.
So it kind of works out good for me when I'm like, okay, I'm
It's your safe place.
What is it, like a dome of white light? I forgot what it is. Some light of protection or something that you can run through in case it does get too deep, and you can go, "Bep, I'm out of here," and there's my safety.
Safety bubble right here. Okay.
That's right.
That's right.
Wow. That's interesting.
Sometimes to the cemetery. But he has absolutely, he never ever saw anything at the winery, never heard anything, didn't ever doubt when I said, we got something going on. But he just was never ever on that wavelength to hear it or see it.
Oh, that is really strange, huh?
I know, and I don't know what you call someone like that. I mean, I'm sure there's a term, but.
Or if there isn't, then maybe you can coin a term.
Oh, let's call it Ghostbusters. We can have a theme song.
Hold on, I've got it somewhere in here.
It's been done.
Darn it.
My wife, when I first met her, after going through a divorce and all that, she said that she has a spirit that would check on her, and she could feel the spirit around her at times, and and different things like this. And she referred to it as a spirit, not as a ghost. She said, but there was always something there that she felt that was protecting her. And when we got together, she told me all about it. And one day I was walking, actually the first house we owned together, I was walking into the bedroom. She had went to bed early, and I was walking into the bedroom. And before I walked to the bedroom door, I stopped because there was something right in front of me. And I just stopped and I stood there, and there was nothing there. But I just stood there for a good minute, and I thought to myself, this is her ghost and or her spirit. And I says, I'll take care of her. And she says she never saw it after that. She said from that point on, she was never visited by her spirit. And
wow.
I just thought that was really,
cool.
really strange. Yeah, yeah, that was sort of a cool moment. But boy, it was an odd feeling, though. I mean, there was somebody standing there, and at the door, and I just felt it. But but I said, I'll take care of her. And I walked in the room, and actually, her response was, what did you do to my spirit? And I said, I didn't do anything to your spirit. She said she never saw it after that. So, yeah.
Wow. And she didn't know who it was or anything?
No, she never did. All she realized that there was a presence there at times that, gave her comfort, gave her shelter, gave her support, stuff like that. But no, she never knew. And when she told me about it, I didn't doubt her. Good. But then when I actually came face to face with them, it was really there, So, but that's just the cool story,
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, Charlie? It's your turn.
When did I go to Colorado? 2-3 years ago, I went to Denver. Rented a car, and I drove out to the Stanley Hotel. Unfortunately, I didn't go into the Stanley Hotel. It was snowing. It was below freezing, and I was in Florida and wasn't prepared for it.
Uh-oh.
But I just wanted to see what it looked like, and I was like, wow, this is not what I expected. But it's just, from the outside at least, just amazing to be there and to know, inside those doors what's going on. I wish now that I had gone in there and tried to take a tour or stay in one of the was it room 201 or something, I think, but that was kind of cool, but just something to be out there. Nothing since then.
But they're all around the country. We have haunted places, and there really is. There's haunted places everywhere in this country, and I say this country because I haven't been outside of this country enough to really know, but I'm sure without a doubt that Europe is full of haunted places. I mean, the history that has to dictate it. It's amazing. You think about the possibilities there and all the different types of spirits that could be haunting different areas of Europe. It's I wonder how the people even sleep at night there.
Well, I was in Scotland a few years ago, and Scotland every castle is haunted. They all have their. But you walk in and you're like, I can see, where this might be. And it's beautiful country, but it has its own kind of weird vibe going on. And I went to Greyfriars Cemetery. In the middle of the day, I went with a couple of people who, this is where some of the names came from for Harry Potter. She wrote there in one of the little pubs. And so she came to the cemetery and picked out some different names. So they're going and finding these stones, and they're so thrilled. Of course, I'm taking pictures of stones, just like, look at this. Look at this. So
that's cool.
But you could really, in the older parts, and I even find that here in this country, it's the older parts of the cemetery that have the feeling of almost melancholy. Huh. Yeah, you know, it's, and cemeteries, at least in this country, point.
Uh-oh, I think I just.
Oh, did you? No, I'm on here.
I'm on. You on?
To the, you know, the big ones in the city.
Oh, there she is.
Like, no, there's really, really nothing happening. But then you go out to the small cemeteries out by themselves, and you can really feel the strange vibes of something, an undercurrent.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's, you know, and this, so many little cemeteries around the country here. My father's hometown, where a lot of my side of the family came from, and that area there, there's a little small cemetery that is about, oh, 6-7 miles outside of town on a hill. And people who ancestors, no new burials there, but people whose ancestors are there always go out there and mow it and keep it up. And it's always in very pristine condition. But you get that old cemetery vibe when you go in there, even though it is always well manicured. It's still a feeling of an old cemetery, and you just... it's hard to describe it, but I can understand what you're saying about the old cemeteries and the old sections and stuff. It just, it gives you that feeling.
Yeah, there's more going on there than you realize. And in the new cemeteries, I've never really picked it up.
No, no. And you know, there's a cemetery that's a mile from where we live here. It's just right up the road there, and it's got, you know, big tall crypts where they put in the cremation remains, and then they've got the actual burials plots. But every one of those is just the flat headstone, so the lawnmowers can mow over them and clean it and keep it pretty.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go in there and you walk through there, and you know, you drive by and everything, and it just like another lot, and because it's so new and it doesn't have any history, doesn't have any emotion to it. It's just, you know, and I know people's buried there. I mean, neighborhood people and people, I've been here long enough now, have people who are buried there, and still you don't get that feeling of spirituality, I guess is the word. All of this is just another lot, you know, and, which,
yeah,
again,
it's almost like there's no connection.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
But
yeah,
with your
book, like
people can
cemetery.
Get connection.
Yeah, I do too.
Yes, they can. And I'll explain the symbols. And see, that's what's really fascinated me, is there's a silent language on those stones. And they're telling you a story with the symbols. And you just have to be able to read what the symbols are telling you. And then you understand more about that person. And tree stones are loaded. These are the stones that look like the little tree stumps, or some of them soar like to 12 feet. And they look like a stone tree. But if you start looking at the carvings, you may see a dove, which usually represents a child. You'll notice that it shows it's a straight up tree trunk, but the branches are all cut off. And many times where the branches supposedly look like they've been cut off, you'll see someone's name and their birth and date and death date. And literally, it's a family monument, and they're
family
noting
tree.
All the family members.
It's a family tree.
It's a family tree. Of course, genealogy.
Yeah, that's right. There it is. It's the family tree. Yeah.
Yep. But it's just cool to be able to read those stones and figure out what they were trying to tell you with all their little carvings and things.
You explain that in your book too, don't you?
Yes.
And what all that is.
And I'm going to explain it to the people of Houston next week.
There you go. So people can start checking your, you know, local library genealogy societies and stuff, and see where Joy's going to be speaking.
Or if they have one and would like me to come, contact me. Yes.
Yeah.
Zoom or in person. I'm either way.
Yeah, she's not going anywhere. She just had a knee operation, so now's a good time to contact her.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that to really happen. Take care of itself.
It probably should be getting close to more mobility, I would think.
I would say before Thanksgiving I'll be out and on my way. But it was a rough couple of months, so it just didn't. I had one a year ago that I flew through, you know, and I'm like, oh, a second one? Okay. But, wow, everything.
Yes. Totally different.
And I mean, yes, I didn't, I know it sounds silly, I didn't expect that. I thought, well, the first one went really great, so,
no.
Okay.
No.
So, I
older.
I have two, so I've done them both, and I'm good.
Yeah, you're older from the first to the second. There's a factor. Yeah.
Oh, no, don't talk about that.
So, Mike, any other...
Let's do the Dorian Gray thing.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
any other closing comments for Joy?
Okay. Yeah, so you said if a genealogy group or society out there would like to get in touch with you for possibly doing a virtual or in-person presentation, how do they get in touch with you?
I have a website, and it's joyneighbors.com, and you can get on there.
Okay.
I have a list of some of the presentations. That's not nearly all, but it gives you an idea. And there is a place there where you can send me a message. And just hop on there and tell me who you are and what you're looking for, and I'll get back in touch, and we'll set it up.
Right.
Sounds easy.
In case we get that, get the question or something. In case anybody asks, we got that information now. I'm sure I've been on the website. I'm on the Grave Interest right now. If anyone wants to read the latest article is Dining with the Dead from about 11 days ago.
Last week,
yeah.
And I'm going to be getting one up here in the next couple days about because Halloween is when they say the veil between the worlds is thinnest. So I'm going to have a little info on that.
Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
Check it out. That is on the web at agraveinterest.blogspot.com. You can check that out. I'm not sure if that's linked through your main website or not, but if you want to go directly to it, agraveinterest.blogspot.com. So to check it out there. Very good, interesting reads.
And you can always, if you're, since this show is called All About Wine, if you're interested in some of her wine comments and wine blogs, go to Joy's Joy of Wine. And that also, there's some great articles and great information in there. And it's not, it's just a bunch of stuff, pictures and everything that goes with it and all that. So that's still up. It's still a lot of good read on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good experience. So,
maybe someday we'll have to see.
Start it up again?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I miss it. I did wine for so long, but everything else kind of took over, and maybe someday.
We will look forward to that. Once you do and you start it back up, drop me a line and I'll announce it and get it out there so people can start perusing it again.
All right.
So,
Sounds good.
Any closing thoughts or comments there, Joy, before we say goodnight?
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you.
And let me know anytime you want to do this. It's always a fun talk.
We always look forward to it. We really have. Mike and I, we're just saying you're our most visited All About Wine guest. And Mike says we need to get some sort of
like
a party gift or something for an award or something. Yeah. So, but we're not done yet. So we can't say for five visits or for whatever because there's going to be more. So we're going to have to wait. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you very much for taking your time and your evening. and joining us, and we will look forward to your new book, which, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
If it's not out before Thanksgiving, before next Halloween, then we'll let you announce it, because we'd like to have you on the show again next year, right before Halloween, and you can announce the release date then, and we can be
Sounds good.
So that's something to look forward to for us and everybody else. So thank you again for taking the time out. It was wonderful, as always, to have you on the show and visiting with us and sharing your ghost stories and all the stuff that is associated with it. And everyone, jump up there and get her a book. We have
cool.
Mike.
It's always fun to talk
testimony.
To you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you
for taking the time this evening.
Have a good evening.
All right.
And have a great
day.
Have a good evening now. All right. Bye.
Thank
you. Too. Have a good Halloween. Bye-bye.
Thank
you.
You
too.
Also. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. Always fun. Always fun to have her on.
Yeah. Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide by Joy Neighbors. Check it out. Very good.
It's you've got the recommendation of Mike. And so.
And I'm still going through
it. I haven't done it. I'm going to have to get it and read it. So I'll do that.
I skimmed through some of it, but just to see what it was about. And then I started reading it. And it's got a lot of good information. It's not like a scholar, you know, type of read. It's an easy read, and you can get into it and just don't want to stop. She did cover the history of cemeteries, and because you were talking about the caveman and all that, and it does go back several thousand years when they found they found the first what was it I was reading about, like a few thousand years ago, they actually uncovered a cemetery, I guess, and they thought that there were almost like it was a ceremonial type of cemetery where they found where there could have been flowers and, you know, things like that placed. I think it was in Israel I gotta go back and reference that. But it starts off with a good history of it, and 12,000 years ago, and then there's another finding from 5,000 years ago, and it does go back. So people have been very
learning experience there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll have to get it. So. Get
on. I was lucky that it got on the. My Android phone, because I was like, oh, this is going to require Kindle, and I just downloaded the Kindle app, and it loaded the book right up. So I was like, we're
great.
This.
Yeah, so, I might end it. Well, if I'm going to send it to my sister, I'll get the hard copy and read it. So do it that way, because my sister's
cool.
Really into the genealogy, so I'll do that.
Yeah,
give her a present after I read it.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would enjoy that.
Good.
So, we got next year to look forward to and getting Joy back on again, talking about ghosts and all sort of stuff. Yeah. Anybody out there have a ghost story, let us know. We'd like to hear about that stuff, and we can share it with Joy.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will, I guess we can close the show for this week. We'll be back November the 4th, which is next Thursday.
November.
Yeah.
Wow.
7 p.m. Eastern time. It's already November.
Wow.
Counting it down. So you all have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, whether it's live or on the archives, we do appreciate it. And we always welcome your feedback, questions, or comments. Please send them by email to allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Send us your email.
Yep.
Ron will get that, and he can
check it all the time.
We'll get with you on the program if it's something that we can put like that on the air. So I think that's it. We'll close this down. Okay. All right. Take care. Have a good week, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next.
Thank
time.
You for listening, and we'll see you next week. Have a good Halloween.
Thanks.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinedpr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Yay! Hey,
that's all cool. Right.
And
the broadcast is waiting for a signal. It just closed out the Facebook. I saw it. I was looking at that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go to the little green, two green people.
Yeah.
That button.
We'll
oh, we're still on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.